When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're listening to the This Life podcast with Dr. Drew Pinsky and me, Mike Catherwood.
That's right. We're doing it this time. So check it out. Thanks for listening.
You live.
Oh, people love You Live. Everyone, this is, of course, This Life with Dr. Drew, a special You Live podcast. Mike Catherwood, of course, my co-host. He is my partner on KBC 790 AM Midday Live Show. You can tune into us 12 to 3 Pacific time. I'll just go look at the podcast on KBC 790 AM's website. It's kbcradio.com, isn't it?
Or sure. Yeah, something. Anyway. I believe it's goatsy.com. It's actually specialfriedrice.net.
Check us out. We tend to be hooked to the news of the day. It's a good, radio show. We enjoy it, and we'd appreciate if you guys would support it. And Mike and I have a new concept about future shows, something he and I have been talking about for a long time, the Swole Patrol.
Very long time. The Swole Patrol?
Swole Patrol, one day we'll bring to you, but as a sort of...
This is the Swole Patrol sapling stage episode right now. Really, this is like
This is right. This is the primordial Swole Patrol podcast. And what better way to get it started but with Vinny Tortorich?
Yeah,
Vinny, welcome, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm getting kind of a Rudy clap here. Swole Patrol meaning like bro science stuff. We're going to just talk about getting big.
Well, this is where
getting huge, bro.
This was my idea. Is that it, you know, I'm a big fan of fitness based podcasts.
Mike is an insane.
I mean, I do have it's not just a matter of like, hey, I like lifting weights and protein shakes.
Which is true.
I really do love like I have a genuine curiosity for knowledge of all aspects of even stuff like endurance sports. I've never run more than a mile in my life, but I like to, you know, really get geeky about it. But what I've noticed.
You've never run more than a mile in your life?
Probably I have.
Wow. I ran 6 miles this morning.
Yeah, don't do that. Stop doing that.
No.
He worked that in?
I want two things I want to work in. One is that Vinny's the one that convinced me to start running. You said it's good for old guys.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about
that
yet.
But here's the problem. Drew will screw it up because Drew will either go way below his lactate threshold and way above his aerobic levels. So he's going to be in that weird zone. Where Drew just gets sore knees and
No. On the contrary.
Well, tell us, Drew. What are you doing?
I feel like I'm easy on myself. I just sort of feel like it's some sort of a conditioning phenomenon that I think I need as an older male.
Well, I guess from a therapeutic aspect.
But occasionally I'll kick in and do long runs and it feels very comfortable. I don't kill myself. I don't walk away with anything sore. I'm right in a very sort of I had a strange experience there when I was running. I thought to myself, oh, this is why humans survived in the savannah, because I just feel like I could go all day like this.
Well, we can. Yeah. We're very well conditioned.
It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. And so I figure I'm about in the right zone I should be in, right? Vinny?
Yeah, well, you want to be in zone two. And you're right. We were conditioned. It's how we survived as a species. Because we can sweat. We're an animal that sweats.
So we can regulate our temperature.
Right. And if you stay in zone two,
go ahead.
If you have four zones, right? Zone one is anything from, you know, basic heart rate up to 69%. Zone two is 70 to 79%. Zone three is 80 to 89. And then zone four is 90 and above.
And I got to say, when I'm in zone three plus four, I feel terrible.
Yeah, everyone does. Because at any age, it's going to hurt. Lance Armstrong famously said, it doesn't matter how much shape I get in. When I'm going uphill, it all hurts the same. And it's very true. You know, zone four is going to hurt no matter what. Zone two, you're basically not burning any of your blood glycogen. You're burning only fat. And as long as you're taking fat in, or if you have any adipose fat, you're going to work on that. And so it's good to lose weight, even though I always say exercise is a poor way to lose weight.
Sure.
Here's a way where you can actually use some of that adipose tissue.
I feel like
you will not. The thing is though, especially a guy like you, a type A guy like you.
Who are you talking about?
You, Dr. You. Drew. Right. And this is how I know that, because even fat piles of shit constantly do this, is that you grossly overestimate how low you have to go to stay in zone two.
I crawl.
Yeah, your heart. I'm saying you should monitor your heart rate because it. A guy like you, someone who is like, I better get going. It's crazy.
Somebody is.
You're 59.
Next couple weeks. Okay. Next week.
Okay.
2 weeks.
Your zone two heart rate is probably way lower than you think it is. Like, trust me.
Probably like 90-ish.
Okay.
95.
I mean, I would say 110, no, but.
Yeah. There's a way you can figure out without going and getting a lactic threshold test. Take your age.
I can feel it. I can tell when
Yeah, but that's what you're saying. I'm telling you, but I'm going to get
But I'm going to get a wrist thing.
You will assume.
Sending me, a friend of mine, thanks, Sarah, sending me a monitor, a new kind of monitor, and I'm going to use it. So,
but go ahead. Okay, no, use it. But the best way to figure it out is you take 180. Minus your age, since you're already fit, you can do a plus five on that. So let's do you. You're 59 years old.
Let's say just say 60 for the sake of
All right, 60. So
plus five, right. 125.
So 125 puts you right in the middle of your zone two. If you are broke and you don't have a heart rate monitor, but you still want to run, do it the old Indian style, American Indian style. Close your mouth and breathe through your nose and go running.
Which, by the way, is we don't do enough of. There's a whole thing about nose breathing. Oh, yeah. We can get into that, but.
Yeah.
But I think my rate's probably lower than that. I think more comfortable for me.
You can be lower than that, Drew. Yeah. You can.
That's what I think. It's very important. Listen to what Vinny's saying here is that there is this assumption that when people, they're like, I got to get it done all by tomorrow. And there's a lack of patience and an understanding that if you want to be burning fat for fuel, adipose tissue or a dietary fat, I mean, you got to stay below that zone and going like, well, I'll sprint up this hill. It'll make it all the much better.
No. What I think to myself is I got to deal with this hill. I'm going to go extra slow so I can keep this thing going for a while.
And you may have to walk.
I walk a little bit. I do.
You can walk a lot. The great Mark Allen, who ESPN called him the greatest aerobic athlete of all time, and they said his record may never be broken. Mark Allen won 7 Ironman competitions after coming in second for 6 in a row. Now, think about that. Most people in that sport burn out within a couple of years.
Sure.
Mark Allen went 12, 13 years, came in second, and then when he started coming in first, all he did was went slower in training to where he would have to walk up hills. Think about that.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I want to keep nailing it home.
I still want to lift heavy weights, though, too, on top of that.
That's fine. You can do all the anaerobic stuff you want. It really doesn't affect.
Well, it does because my joints are all screwed up.
But it's also essential that if you're – especially someone in good shape like you. Now, here's another big mistake that I always like to
– Hang on. Before you go to the big mistake, what?
Go ahead.
No, I just want to promote to make call us. Call us about any topics you want. You don't have to.
We got good calls.
Okay, but we can talk about all kinds of topics. You know, Vinny's here, of course. We're getting deep into the geek. Mike and I with the Swole Patrol ideas. But
I want to come on to that show.
But you will. Trust me. Oh, this is the beginning of that.
Because I know that stuff. I started off there.
I know that.
I wasn't always this guy. I was that guy first.
No, I know that.
That's but go on. I know you haven't.
But go ahead.
The world of bodybuilding is very. It's very easy to make fun of, but. Almost all cutting-edge science in nutrition and fitness comes from the world of bodybuilding because they are the guys who are daring enough to take themselves to be the lab rats. and they really push the envelope further than anyone. And
daring.
A lot of times the scientific world has to catch up. But what I was saying is that
Very much so.
Yeah.
I can remember – listen, I remember the day and age – you probably remember this too – when steroids didn't improve strength. They literally said, oh, steroids have nothing to do with strength. Or muscle size.
Right.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
And the bodybuilders are like, nothing.
And the ketogenic.
I'm not taking steroids. No,
the application the application of ketogenic diets and cyclical ketogenic diets outside of a hospital came from the bodybuilding world. Old guys like Vince Gironda was the first guy to really think about doing
Bill
that.
Bill Pearl.
We go back way further than you.
Personally advised me about that.
Yeah.
The Pasadena Prince, Bill Pearl. Yep. But what I was going to say is one of the hugest mistakes a lot of people make is that they're a giant fat ass and they start to look at Lance Armstrong as a guide of how they should gear their fitness. Or they're competing in the CrossFit games and then they start to apply something they heard on the doctors for their fit. And the truth is that the reality of most all of us come right in the middle, and that what you see, you know, if you hear that a professional NHL hockey player has to eat 7 times a day to keep his blood glucose up, it doesn't apply to someone who goes to work and sits on their fat ass.
Not only that, but you think a lot about younger man's kind of training. I was thinking about you when I was running. I thought you and all that deadlifting and stuff, I can't do that anymore.
Listen, the majority of what I do now, honestly, everything I do is geared towards sustainability. If I can have
not deadlifting 400 pounds. I'm sorry. No way.
First off, deadlifting 500 pounds. Deadlifting 400 pounds would be a warm up. Deadlifting 500 pounds is not
I know you're doing
anymore.
It perfectly. I know you're doing it
but
perfectly.
But I don't do it anymore. Right. I don't really do. I mean, I know that there's a law of diminishing returns. Unless I'm going to be a competitive athlete,
yeah,
which
right.
I'm not,
right.
which most everyone listening is not.
Right.
It's a law of diminishing returns. Is it important, I think, for for anti-aging and for bone density to lift heavy weights? Yes, I think it is. Is it important to deadlift 500 plus pounds? Probably not. And it's probably more hurtful than
we'll
it is helpful.
More to the weather,
but I'm with Drew on that. I know you got to get to something. I'm with Drew on that because, you know, growing up and playing college ball, we did a lot of perfect deadlifting and
right.
all that.
And he does it perfectly.
I know. No matter how perfect you do it, there comes a day.
Yeah, there's still 500 pounds. There's still 500 pounds.
When it becomes 400 and then 300, then you go, I'm just going to take the day off on that.
I wonder what the law of diminishing returns is. I mean, I wonder what that middle, that really good kind of middle ground is where it can be sustainable for someone, a regular person, to do in a healthy way for a long period of time without harming you. Because, I mean, my knees are all jacked. My shoulder's hurting. My lower back is killing me.
Are you trying to build the case for doing this? You're undermining your case actively.
No. I'm undermining my case, meaning I know that there's got to be a place where, yes, I enjoy it, and for me personally, I get a high out of it. But
yeah,
right. I know it's not sustainable. I'm not going to be deadlifting heavy and squatting ass to grass
at 60 years old. Both have talked about lifting heavy weights is still an important thing, and you should still be able to do it. It's the
only way to keep hypertrophy going.
Right.
But you have to protect your back because a year ago you were sitting. We were doing a podcast, and Drew was like this.
It was my neck
holding
or something?
The mic up, and I was like, Drew, what the hell? And he goes, I'm doing heavy squats. I'm like, you got to warm up into it, and you can't go as heavy as you used. We're not young anymore.
Oh, heavy. But heavy for me is a 225.
Yeah, I know. You see, we laugh at it because, we were all there at one time.
Yeah.
But 225 is still 225.
All right. I want you to tell this Hydrolyte story because it's a very compelling story about our sponsor, Hydrolyte.
Hydrolyte is a great product, and because I've been doing this podcast with Dr. Drew recently, I had myself a couple tubes of it. And I decided to take it to the wedding that we went to.
We were all at a wedding. First lady of love was there. Your lovely wife was there.
Yes.
Jason Ellis got married. We had a great time.
And it was an outdoor wedding, and it's here summer in L.A., so I figured.
The Houdini Mansion. Crazy.
It's pretty
crazy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Said, I'm going to take me some Hydrolyte just in case.
And it was hot as hell.
It was.
Yeah.
And I was wearing a full suit, and I thought to myself, I'm going to need this. Yeah. I'm going to need some extra electrolytes.
And then Jason went, hey, let's go hike up top of the hill and take a bro picture.
So we
went into mountain lion territory, 20 guys.
So right. I'm wearing a full suit. I'm also really, really carb depleted, so I know that I'm going to need extra electrolytes.
Oh, interesting.
So I said, I'm going to take me some Hydrolyte. So I get there, and I realize that my Mexican honey glaze is protecting me from the sun because I was put on this earth to be out hunting lizards in Cuernavaca. But then the great Dave the Voice Boyce from Vancouver, Canada is there, and he's looking like he is going to die tomorrow from heat exhaustion.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't drink enough water. I don't know what's going on. What is this all about? And I said, you know what, buddy? I got your back. Walked over, got a bottle of water from the bartender.
Perfect.
Popped in some Hydrolyte. Kept Dave the Voice going.
Yes.
Saved his life.
Did you convert him to using this more regularly? I mean, he should know what that was.
I made him aware.
God, these are good products.
It is. It's a fantastic electrolyte product. And I support.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's an electrolyte.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's too much crap.
They use stevia or something like that.
They have one with stevia, but more importantly, it's designed to be equivalent to IV fluids.
Here it is.
Oh, perfect.
So yeah, and you
here we go.
Yeah,
pop it in a little water.
Hold it up to the camera.
Effervescent.
Effervescent. Exactly. I had conceived of that a couple of years ago, and then these guys arrived from Australia. I was like, oh, there it is. And somebody got.
You could have been rich.
I know. I know. I actually started working
like
on
Corolla.
I started working on it with Corolla drinks, and we could never really. Get him to do it.
Well, I came up with the greatest idea. Well, anyway, Hydrolyte.
Anyway, I appreciate this. Yeah.
By the way, 30% off today. Use the code Dr. Drew WH. Excuse me, W.
It looks like that.
Dr. Drew HY for Hydrolyte.
DrDrWHY.
Or Drew Y.
Here.
Yeah, no,
that's
HY.
Dr. Drew HY.
Dr. Dre Y.
So Drew and I came up with the idea for the greatest fat burning product, but.
Oh yeah,
we can't seem to get around to doing
it. Oh yeah, yeah. So tell Vinny.
Yeah, I'm all there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's such a negative connotation to nicotine because it is in cigarettes
and caffeine too, to some extent.
It's a stimulant. There's nothing wrong with nicotine.
But nicotine outside of
I had a fight with a cardiologist about this. She literally said, "Oh, you know what you're talking about." I go, Nicotine's fine. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
By the way, conclusive and ample scientific proof that exclusive from tobacco products,
yeah,
nicotine is a perfectly innocuous product.
Tobacco's horrible. Tobacco's horrible. Nicotine, no problem.
But nicotine is a very effective fat burner, and it's not an alpha beta 2 antagonist like an ephedrine or something like this.
No.
And it really is effective at helping to boost your metabolic rate. I say, Dr. Drew and I get some green tea, some nicotine, put it together with some caffeine and a pill.
Yeah. That was our plan, or a powder or something. Right?
Yeah. And you couldn't get Corolla to go with that?
No, we couldn't get around it, number one. But number two, there's such issues.
Negative feelings around nicotine.
Not feelings. I mean, legalities and stuff around nicotine. You almost can't get
why?
It
Why? It's not a controlled substance,
I don't
it?
Know. I couldn't really figure it out.
I honestly think because the tobacco industry is such a negative force that people just associate nicotine
with
that.
Well, let's ask this. Why don't bodybuilders, maybe they do,
use nicotine
lozenges and stuff? Nicotine gum. Right?
Yeah. You go to Gold's Gym Venice,
now the question,
and there's a bunch of empty Nicorette all over
So the question is, though, can you string somebody out of nicotine and have some deleterious, they get panic or other things, or sleep problems from stringing them out on it too much? I mean, there's probably a way to use it. Probably a way to use it.
But
so just getting over the
you're
humps
right.
of
It's going to keep you up at night and stuff, but so wouldn't caffeine? I mean, like, is it?
Not really. Caffeine doesn't work exactly the same way.
Oh, it's very different.
Yeah.
It's a de-repressor.
Yeah.
But my point is you could string yourself out on caffeine.
Some people.
But either way, that's on the market.
When we used to do, I know.
You know?
When we used to do Loveline, I would, and you're right, it does cause panic too. But Loveline, I would drink 3 cups of coffee during the show between 10 and midnight, go home and go to sleep.
And go to sleep. No problem. I'm the same way. As a matter of fact, we've been studying caffeine a lot because Pure Vitamin Club is now starting a new company, Pure Coffee Club, which is coming out in a few months. So
nice, man.
I'll have to come back, Susan, and push that.
On the Swole Patrol.
Pure Vitamin Club.
Well, you know, I'm not sure we've actually explained who Vinny is in full detail.
Go ahead.
Tell you a quick story who you are.
I'm Vinny. I've been a trainer for 35, 36 years out of Tulane University. And
he's worked in
Hollywood for years with
Big in the Corolla empire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm at Corolla every 2 weeks. And I started a podcast 6 years ago in order to sell a book that I had written, Fitness Confidential. And the book became a big deal, much to my surprise. And then I looked around and went, why should I even stop the podcast? So I just kept the podcast going, and it's grown. And once I was on Corolla, it popped again. And within that, I took all of my book money and did something I always wanted to do. I wanted to make the world's best vitamins and then sell them at the world's lowest price. So I created purevitaminclub.com against – you know, every businessman I spoke to said, you're going to just lose your ass. You're done. Or you might as well just take your money and burn it.
And why is that? Because it's such a flooded
because
market?
Because it's so hard to get in and this and that. So, but I didn't try to go up against GNC or Kirkland or anyone else. I just started selling them on VinnyTortorice.com, on the Fitness Confidential podcast. And the company grew and grew and grew. Now we're moving it to Europe, and we're moving here, and we're moving there. So kind of like Corolla, I'm starting my own little tiny empire within what I can do, and it seems to work. And I'm a big fan of coffee. I've been drinking coffee since I'm 4. And people would say, oh, my God, coffee, caffeine. No. Even back in the 80s, I used to say to doctors, you know, coffee is good. And they would go, no, it's not. Well, tell me why it's bad. And they would go, I can't.
Because we didn't know. Yeah,
because no one knew. They just knew that coffee would, you know. But coffee is an antioxidant, and coffee is a stimulant, and coffee makes you feel good. And there's nothing. You take water out of the equation, coffee is the number one drink in the world.
By the way, and let me say this all before the hippie broads get here, infinitely more antioxidant power to coffee than green tea, but because it comes from the East, people are like, oh, it's got to drink your green tea.
Right. That's why we're putting the green tea in with our product.
No. ECGG, that's different. That's a whole, that actually does have metabolic. I'm just saying, like, people are always like, oh, I'm not going to go to Denny's and get a cup of coffee. That's unhealthy. I have to go get my matcha from.
Explain what ECGG is.
It's a constituent from green tea that helps with metabolic function.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Vinny.
But the reason green tea got popular was because they're picking young tea before it gets black, and it had more caffeine. So, caffeine is not a bad thing.
Right.
And so, anyway, I was talking about who I am, but then I meandered off into Pure Vitamin Club. And
all right, let's get some calls in, shall we?
All right, yeah.
Do we need a break at any point?
Yes, let's take a break.
Okay, we'll take a little break. Thank you all of you on Facebook. First wave. Whoop, are we still on? Yeah. First Lady of Love will give me some of your comments, what you've been saying on Facebook Live, and we'll happily take your calls as well. Be right back after the break.
Hydralyte, of course, you've heard me rave about these guys. It's a product that I actually wanted to develop myself. I conceived of this. I knew it was needed. It was already in Australia, and now it is here. It works. The feedback is unanimous. Even though it's great to use, though, when you're sick or dehydrated, you can use it every day, especially now that the weather is changing. It's hot. So whether you're exercising or maybe you've got seasonal allergies or you drank too much or you got vomiting or diarrhea, whatever it might be, you can reduce fatigue and keep feeling healthy as well. Once you've started feeling dehydrated, sometimes a little too late, so you want to stay hydrated. And rapid rehydration, if you do get dehydrated, requires a proper balance of sodium, glucose, and water, and nothing provides it like Hydralyte. I'm telling you, it's the same as an IV fluid via your mouth, via your enteral system. It's based on established, proven science, quite simply the best rehydration product out there. It comes in great flavors. They have those fizzy tablets. Also, they have a powder and a premixed drink. Compared to other sports drinks, Hydralyte delivers up to 4 times electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydralyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow directions. All right, you can find Hydralyte at Rite Aid or online at Amazon or click through at drdrew.com. And for more information, visit Hydralyte.com. That is Hydralyte, H-Y-D-R-A-L-Y-T-E, Hydralyte.com.
We are back, and those are our friends at Hydralyte, of course. First Lady of Love, what do you got there on the Facebook Live feed?
Hold on.
Okay.
Vinny Tortorich, our guest.
Thank you.
Everyone.
We have people that love Vinny, obviously.
Swole Patrol, Mike Catherwood. Check us out on Midday Live.
Okay, why is grass-fed butter good?
Grass-fed butter.
In comparison to what?
Yeah.
Say regular butter.
Why is it good?
I hear because it has more conjugated linoleic acid, which is a type of fat.
MCT.
And it can have more natural, no, it has zero MCT.
Yeah, oh, it does? I thought it was MCT.
There's no medium chain triglycerides.
Oh, I thought it's MCT also.
That's
okay,
in coconut oil. That is the big. But grass-fed butter supposedly has more natural omega-3s, natural CLA. I'm like, if you're going to spend the money on butter, if you're already at Whole Foods, you're going to get butter, go ahead and get grass-fed butter. Don't go out of your way to spend whatever extra money you have on grass-fed butter. I think that's a lot of it.
Mike is absolutely right. And just to add to that, people think, you know, because a lot of people out there want to be healthy and they can't afford things like grass-fed butter and grass-fed beef. And just the money, you know, and they'll look at it and go, well,
time. You have to go get the vegetables and get the
butter. But everyone's going to go get. But, you know, people say to me all the time, I can't afford to be healthy. And it's like, that's not true. You can have non-grass-fed beef and you can have non-grass-fed butter.
Yeah.
It's just, it's that much better. Is it worth the cost? I'm still out to lunch on that. I love it. I use it, but
not sure.
You know.
Yeah, the difference between I'm getting grass-fed sirloin and broccoli should not be either I'm getting that or I'm getting fast food.
How about between a grass-fed beef and like a bison or something? Is that
negligible? I go with the beef because it's going to have more fat. And by the way, that's another reason to have grain-fed or grass-fed with grain-finished beef because you're going to get more marbling in the fat.
Which just tastes better.
Yeah. It tastes better. It is better. It's good all the way around.
By the way, unless you like game meat, a lot of people don't like the taste of it.
Bison's good.
I enjoy it, but some people don't. And people are always like, I don't like fish. I don't like lamb. I go, so don't eat it. Eat chicken. But eat whatever you have to eat to maintain that
diet. By the way,
diet.
That chicken yesterday at Jason's was really good. Yeah. Wasn't it?
It was. Hardly relevant, but thank you.
I wasn't invited.
So go ahead. What else you got there? Anything on Facebook?
Oh, have you seen What the Health on Netflix? What is your opinion on the film?
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, go ahead.
And do you think a plant-based diet can reverse heart disease, thyroid disease?
Okay. Actually, let me just say, I cannot watch those things. I can't drive me crazy. I get upset watching them, but go ahead.
I watched the first 3 minutes and then did a whole hour and a half podcast on it, and then everyone said that wasn't fair. You need to watch the whole thing. So I watched the whole thing, and I had two other podcasts I did on it, one with a nurse practitioner who watched it also, and we critiqued the whole thing for 90 minutes, and then I had the great Nina Teicholz on of the book Big Fat Surprise, and Nina and I did another 90 minutes. So I've done about 4 hours of podcast at my podcast on that.
Who was the guest?
Nina Teicholz, T-E-I-C-H-O-L-Z.
Do you know Sylvia Tara? Sylvia Tara.
I sent Sylvia Tara to you guys.
Okay, thank you.
She came to me She's first, awesome. And she goes, "Where else can I go?" I said, yeah. "Call Dr. Drew."
And the other one, yeah. Oh crap, what's her name?
Kate Shanahan. I sent her to. I'm doing a promo with her right now.
Okay, she is the real deal.
If only I told Dr. Drew about Kate 2.5 years ago when Deep Nutrition came out. Oh man. Oh wait, I did. And then he came into KBC. He's like, "Have you heard about this Kate Shanahan? I'm gonna kick your dick off."
Yeah, Drew doesn't listen when you talk
at all. Like he just doesn't try to at all.
We started bringing Kate in the studio back when I was still doing a podcast at Anna Studio. Yeah. That was like 5 years ago. Love Kate. You're right. She is the real deal. And, you know, we just to get back to what the health.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've done show after show. You know, it's vegan propaganda. It's the same people who did Cowspiracy. It's unfounded. They are lying. All of these vegan doctors, I don't see why they have license. I'll mention some of them. Neil Bernard, Michael Greger.
Are these MDs?
These are all MDs. But you see, here's their deal, Drew.
Yeah.
They're MDs, and they feel like they're lying for the greater good. What you have to understand is they're not into the vegan diet. They're basically PETA, who's trying to save animals.
Oh,
right.
So they will lie, wholesale lie, about things. And, you know, like they went to the ADA, and they walked into this guy's office, and you got this guy with the man bun on going, "I have to study right here. What do you have to say about this?" It wasn't even a real study. It was a study that Neil Barnard put together. That's a piece of bullshit.
Right, so here's the deal. This is an important point.
Right.
Which is that there's no one study that makes a discipline or makes a point of view as it pertains to something as complex as biochemistry and physiology. There's a landscape of literature, and you must familiarize yourself with all of it so you can analyze any one piece. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but let me put a finer point on what you're saying. Shouldn't the study at least be peer-reviewed?
No, not necessarily, but if it's not a peer-reviewed study, you should take it with a serious grain of salt. You should understand it's not a peer-reviewed study. Now, you can look at it and go, based on my reading of the peer-reviewed literature, that's interesting. Not, oh my God, that's fact. What you would say is, I guess I'll keep an eye on that, see if some peer-reviewed literature, multiple studies, emerges that corroborates that. You don't look at one study and say this is fill-in-the-blank anything.
Right, but when you take an epidemiological study and it's not peer-reviewed and you walk into the ADA and you say, "I have this information, why are you killing people?" What is that guy supposed to do? Except go, I'm done. I can't have this conversation. I don't even know what you're talking. I don't know what the study
is.
Look
at it. Yeah, yeah.
Right. You're asking me on the spot on the camera to make a decision. Yeah. So, and my other favorite.
That's, by the way, a very good response, which is let me go study the literature and I'll, I'll respond to you.
But that's not what they're willing to do. They're ambushing people.
It's all ambush stuff. Ambush everything is bad. Anything is bad.
And the other thing that got me was they had one doctor. He was an African-American vegan.
And by the way, no disrespect to veganism or PETA.
Right.
Let me jump in here. Let me jump here.
Go on.
People don't conflate the idea that the idea of having a fully plant-based diet for moral reasons is very admirable.
Yeah.
And to care for the welfare of animals is very respectful. And by the way, I support you.
You may carry the day.
Don't try to convince me that I, as a Homo sapien, am not supposed to eat other animals.
And let me add to that. I work with vegans every day. I'm on the ground with vegans every day, and I never try to talk them out of being vegans.
Sure.
No, of course not.
You know, but you have to work within the confines of what people give you to work
with. And let's differentiate not supposed to with shouldn't.
Right.
You know, those are if you feel philosophically you shouldn't eat animals, okay, that's a philosophical point of view that has nothing to do with, you know, our physiology. That's okay.
And right. Getting back to our original point.
And maybe the right – I don't know.
Getting back to our original point about, you know, heavy deadlifting, it falls in kind of the same category in that whenever anybody takes these stances, they're always pointing to the extremes to combat the extreme. People will say to me, don't eat 200 grams of protein a day because you should be completely plant-based, or – don't be completely plant-based. You need to follow a Paleolithic diet. And I go, no, the reality is that there's balance between the two that falls somewhere in the middle.
And would we all agree? Let's just make one quick statement. Eat more plants. Not a bad thing.
Yeah. I don't think anyone is not saying that.
Yeah.
But when you're going to do fear-mongering and then Netflix is going to put 90 minutes of fear-mongering up.
Oh, my God. So many documentaries are so awful.
It is. Crazy. It wasn't a real documentary. It was all just based on blah.
All right. We're going to calls.
Let's talk to Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Dr. Drew, Vinny, Mike.
Hey, man.
Great to talk to you guys. So I had a lot of success with NSNG. I lost about 150 pounds.
Cool.
And I was looking at kind of how to go to the next level. Yeah, it's been amazing. And I got into intermittent fasting, which is basically you take a window of time during the day and you don't eat.
Speaking of Sylvia Tara.
I was wondering what you guys thought of it.
Wasn't it Sylvia Tara? Isn't that her thing?
I think it is.
Yeah. I'm a big fan.
I'm a huge fan.
It has to be it has to fall into it has to fit your lifestyle. I'm a big supporter and a big proponent of it because it flies in the face of the probably the most annoying and biggest lie that has perpetuated the fitness and nutrition media, and that is you have to eat very frequently throughout the day to keep your metabolism
stoked. And the breakfast.
Do you know how that got started?
Bill Phillips, I thought.
Well, it actually got started by people like Weight Watchers, because if you're giving people grains and sugar all the time, you know, their ghrelin and leptin is going to keep releasing over and over, and they're going to feel hungry all the time. So they said, okay, since we're calorie in, calorie out, just have fewer calories, but have it all day. We're going to keep you grazing like a cow, basically. Intermittent fasting, the only problem I have with it overall is people go into it as trickery. Now, you've been doing he mentioned NSNG. That's a brand that's owned by me. By the way, Drew, that's how you get rich. You come up with a brand, and then you can get rich.
Good for
I'm
you.
Not there yet, but I'm getting there.
Good job.
So NSNG, the thing I make no money on yet, is no sugars, no grains. And the bottom line is people do well. You've lost 150 pounds, but sometimes you get stuck for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And when you do get stuck for a few minutes, don't use intermittent fasting as trickery to start losing weight again.
It's not a panacea, right?
Exactly. You have to, you know, if you want to stop eating at 8 in the evening and start eating again at 10 in the morning, that qualifies as a fast. If you have enough fat for breakfast and you're fat adapted and you can make it until dinner, that can be a fast. But don't use it as a
what's
panacea.
The difference? What's the difference with trickery and a...
Well, no, what I think where Vinny's getting at is...
Trickery can become a lifestyle, right?
No. What you're missing is that a lot of people, like with ketogenic diets, they say, well, I'm not eating any carbs, therefore I can eat an infinite amount of calories. And what I think Vinny's getting at for Tony is that congratulations on the weight loss. Now, just because you're not eating between noon and 8 p.m. and noon doesn't mean you can then become hypercaloric. It all still boils down to monitoring the intake. And having a fast throughout the day can help you do that.
This is another point, too, though, which is that not enough is made of the differences of individual physiologies. Like for First Lady of Love, for her to fast makes no sense. Makes no sense. For me, clearly that's how I evolved in whatever part of Russia.
Why do you say it makes no sense? Because she would drive her crazy? Or because
she loses weight automatically.
Yeah.
And it loses too much weight. I feel like it would affect her, right? Do you ever do that?
Do you fast?
I don't eat till noon usually.
Yeah. See, I don't either.
I just drink coffee.
A lot of people do that.
I don't.
Do you put cream in your coffee? Or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try not to eat till like 3 or 4 in the afternoon because my problem is once I start eating, I can't stop. My body really wants to.
But what do you eat when you start eating? Is it carbohydrates or?
I try to eat plant. No, not trying not to eat carbohydrates. Yeah, carbohydrates.
Can we talk about your little drinking problem? And I'm not talking about
alcohol. Thank you, Tony.
The Diet Coke problem.
Big supporter.
Sure.
More information at leangains.com. Martin Burkhan in Sweden is really, in my opinion, the foremost authority on intermittent fasting.
Oh, okay. What's his name?
Martin Burkhan.
Not Sylvia Tara, who sort of worked out all the... I think she's the one that worked out all the physiology.
I can't remember. You know,
yeah, no, she did. She's sort of committed to that. In fact, I've read some criticism of her thing, of her book, and they were like, oh, when it gets down to it, you have to be hungry a lot of the time. It's like...
No, you don't. I'm never hungry. Are you? I'm never hungry.
I am.
Really?
Yeah.
You shouldn't be.
Pretty much always.
But by the way, could be those Diet Cokes, and I'm not kidding.
Yes.
Tell me about it.
I was the only guy yelling about this in the 80s,
tell
by
him
the way.
Go ahead.
Drew, look, I get it. You can drink it, and it's not going to change your metabolism. No. Trust me. We have not evolved enough to see a half of a molecule away from a sugar that's just pulling the calories out to change that much. Your brain is still registering that as a sugar.
I see. So that's what stimulates the...
Yeah.
And there's a lot of evidence that, of course, it doesn't affect your overall caloric intake. And so people get happy about that. And I'm not saying that drinking Diet Coke is going to make you fat, but I can guarantee you that drinking sweetened diet sodas is going to...
Sweetened. Sugar. I mean, artificially sweet.
Artificially sweet.
It's going to make you
even though it's zero calories, it is going to trick your body into being more hungry for sweet stuff. That's not – it's at this point, they've even shown in rats, and I know it's not predicting of humans, that they'll get an insulinogenic response, even though it's calorie-free.
Yeah. I'm trying to get to sparkling water, that kind of thing.
Drew, that's go cold turkey today. I'm not kidding. Yeah. Cold turkey. Yeah.
Drink.
You
it.
Wouldn't tell a heroin guy, oh yeah, just start coming back.
No, well, can I go to sparkling water?
Yeah, you can do sparkling. As a matter of fact, you can do. There's one of them, LaCroix water. Mm. Just go buy a case of that, and then you'll be off of that, and you'll just get a Soda Stream. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I told Drew the other day because he had his fourth Diet Coke during the radio show. I said, listen, you got to understand.
Don't laugh at him.
Having a diet soda is like murdering bums. It's okay. It's okay if you just do it every once in a while. You can't be doing it every day.
Okay, right, take another question.
Yeah, calls.
I don't know how this weird
there's a little bit of a
mouse works. So eventually we will talk to Paul from Palm Springs. But again, if you're interested in intermittent fasting and really devoting yourself to that lifestyle, Martin Burkhan at leangains.com. He is the guy who's really been at the forefront of that and penned down how to do it without.
By the way, you know what manages my appetite more than anything is distance running. Dramatically changes my appetite.
It will. It will.
But in a good way. In the long run, it will. In the long run, it'll make you starving.
No.
Yes. Well, that's science.
Well,
aerobic activity in the long term thoroughly increases your active hunger.
Not if you stand zone two, because you're just going to burn fat. It's not going to get into your sugars.
Can you get the collar?
Okay, I'm trying. I don't know what else to press besides this mouse button.
He keeps pressing
it's
something.
Come around.
Hello, Paul.
There we go.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, you live, everybody.
You live. Hey, now.
How's it going?
Good.
Mike Catherwood, I know I've talked to you on Instagram before about this, and I just want to take a doctor's approach on antidepressants and OCD. I'm 26 years old, and I recently saw a psychiatrist recently, like 3 years ago, for a panic attack that I had, and he said it was anxiety and all this other stuff. He put me on Ativan for a while, which was whatever, but now he wants to try out an antidepressant, and that would be Celexa.
Okay.
10 milligrams, and I just wanted to see how does these antidepressants really work when it comes to OCD?
You were kind of all over the place with your questions, so let me just sort of try to dial in a little bit. Not a fan of lorazepam or Ativan for panic and anxiety. As a single, something to drop in the middle of a panic attack, yes, it's good, but something to take chronically can kind of make things worse sometimes. So for very short periods of time, the hidden epidemic in this country is the benzodiazepine. That is something that's going to come out, just like I said, the opiate thing. I'm telling you this one. Yeah. You're going to hear about this one eventually too. So be very, very, very careful. Chris Cornell is dead because of that medication, period, end of story. Now, for drug addicts especially, it's a very problematic issue.
Can you explain that, Drew? The Chris Cornell thing? What happens? What causes...
His thing was a little complicated, but except to say that addicts get momentum with this drug very easily.
I'm a layperson. I know nothing about
it's
these.
It's a Valium-like drug. It causes respiratory depression when combined with opioids. When somebody dies of a prescription opioid addiction, it's nearly always with a benzodiazepine. It's that combination that's deadly. It's a it's like Ambien and Valium. It's a good medication, but used in the wrong setting can have horrible consequences. And addicts tend to get more panic, more anxiety, more withdrawal, more craving, more desperation oftentimes during the day. And so they'll take a little more than they should, and then their disease starts to kick in. Their addiction kicks in very quickly, and so their thinking gets distorted. They start thinking about using other things. The disease of addiction is at its core, stinking thinking. The thinking gets distorted, and people don't appreciate that. Motivational priorities change, and they get into that state, and then lots of things start to happen. They start, obfuscating and lying and getting more from their doctor than they should, and it kind of escalates. In Chris's case, I'm not sure he was taking much more than he should have, by the way. Shows you how even in moderately – out of line use, it can have horrible
consequences. So these are really dangerous drugs.
They're dangerous.
They're powerful.
Used long term, they're dangerous.
So this guy on the phone.
So he wants to start with Celexa, which is an SSRI, a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, which is actually a safer, better way to treat panic and anxiety. They chose Celexa for you because of its effect on panic per se. It's not typically the drug we use with OCD. OCD is more in the Prozac zone, a little more powerful SSRI. And OCD, while it's very effectively treated with SSRI, it usually requires a high dose of SSRI, and people sort of don't like that. I wouldn't want to do that. There are other ways of treating. I did a podcast, the Dr. Drew podcast with Elizabeth McIngale about these kinds of things where she talks about the behavioral innovation. There are sort of exposure therapies and things like that you can look at. So there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. I don't like the idea of somebody just sending you on your way with a medication. You know, you have OCD. Goodbye.
But Drew, let me ask. I have OCD, obviously. Mike has it.
I do too.
You know,
yeah.
My buddy Howie Mandel is famously OCD.
He was disabled by it for a while.
Yes, but we're all successful people. So
well, it has advantages.
We can use this.
It has advantages. But when it gets out of control, Vinny, trust me, it can get really unpleasant.
How?
Out of
Explain
control.
It. Because I've always, I guess, and you look at Mike and me and you, we all use it and become successful.
It much like panic, the way I think about it. You know, panic. You ever had a panic attack?
Twice in my life. Okay. Once in a strip joint.
Okay.
Literally.
I hear you. A little too much cheese. A little too much cheese on the taco.
Maybe no? A little too much.
Oh my God!
It was when I first moved to LA. I was in a strip joint in the valley with a buddy, and I'm sitting there looking at the stripper and thinking to myself, "What did I just do to my life?"
Yeah.
I just moved across country. What am I doing?
So you know, panic has a momentum to it. OCD kind of has that too. It's like a circuit that gets going, and once you get going, it sort of builds and builds and builds. You have to disrupt that circuit various ways. That's sort of a very loose way of describing this.
But like narcissism, you say, it can be effective until it gets out of control.
Right, and so much like anxiety, which can keep you vigilant and on top of things and be useful. It can get out of control. And I will just share with you one of the most unpleasant things that I see from in men. I've seen this case 50 times, which is the patient comes in, he goes, my penis is shiny and it's bugging me. It's bothering me. It's uncomfortable. It's shiny. The skin is not right. There's an infection there. They've seen 5 dermatologists, 5 urologists, and it's uncomfortable. It's hurting me. And they're just preoccupied. And I do some mental status stuff on them, and you realize they're anxious and they have OCD features. And that with a like 50 milligrams of Zoloft stops. Like boom. And they've seen 30 doctors.
What if they've bejeweled their cock?
Nobody ever – don't use that word on Facebook Live.
Sorry. I was talking about a rooster.
So it's shocking to me that all the urologists go, I'm sorry. They treat them as urethritis and prostatitis and local fungal infections on their skin. And because they've been sort of looking at it, it does get a little shiny and irritated.
I was going to say, and, shiny penis.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing they preoccupy, shiny or irritated.
That was my original radio name.
But you understand there's a lot of neuronal material connecting these areas up. And so that's part gets hooked
so
into the system. Yeah.
It's just like every meth. It's like every tweaker. They always have the same.
That's right.
Like weird kind of. Complaints.
Psychosis. Yeah, it's all
there's weird. Bugs in my arms. There is bugs in my arms.
Glass bugs in my arm, or the neighbors are thinking about me, sending me messages. Blah blah blah. It's always the same. Always family, coworkers, friends, neighbors, that kind of thing.
Conan O'Brien.
Wow. With cocaine, the cocaine psychosis. It's always uniformed officers. Always. Always.
I hope I get really? More successful in my career so I could tell Conan O'Brien the Conan O'Brien story. About how I took apart a TV because he was talking to me.
In meth
psychosis.
Really?
Yeah.
I took apart an entire television.
So the point being to our friend.
I'm not mechanical
Wait,
at
hang
all.
On, Drew. Yeah. You took it apart because you thought Conan O'Brien
was. I was positive Conan O'Brien was talking to me. And
in
that,
the TV.
In order to get the real messages, I had to uncode the cryptic
was
messages.
Was he on TV at the time?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's Conan O'Brien. Yeah. Later on today, we've got, Heather Locklear is going to be our guest. And I'm like, oh, really? Oh, you're, no. I hear,
what does
I
that
get,
mean?
I get the messages.
Did anyone ever tell you you're Jay Leno and you're Conan O'Brien? You just get Jay Leno.
It was a bit Leno-esque.
So to get back to our caller, so he may have some very important reason to be taking that Celexa,
right.
And it can interrupt this whole circuitry and be useful.
But how do you know when to get off? I mean, guy.
Well, that's why I said, Vinny, that's why I don't like the idea. They went, here's your medicine, goodbye. There should be some behavioral stuff, some exposure therapies talked about. It's an art thing. It's a navigation.
Yeah.
Medical management is a navigation. It's not a digital moment. It's not a.
That's
here
a
it
great
is.
And now like yeah. a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, at least, and I've had a pretty good luck with SSRIs. But for me, even it was a journey. You have to really trust your doctor and work with him or her.
But if you had just gone in to go fix me and I'm out of here,
right?
It would, impossible. There,
yeah, no chance. Hello, Tony.
Is that me?
Yes, yep. Sir. Are you named Tony?
Hmm. Yeah.
All right.
How goes it?
Great, sir.
A long time waiting to talk to you guys. Celebrating 6 years, 8 months, and
congratulations.
Today.
Congratulations, cool.
Wow,
dude. Atta boy.
Good
nice.
Job. Rudy clap.
You live, you guys.
You live, man. Take a cake for us.
He's got another 4 months, Drew. He can't take a cake before he's six.
I thought he says today is 6 years.
No, he said 6 years, 8 months.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I beg
you don't want him to take a cake before
it's
time.
Wow, I just heard the 6 years. That's
Come
crazy.
On, Drew.
Okay, got it. 4 months from now. Right.
What 6 years, 8 months, plus whatever today is, the 19th or 20th day.
Got it.
So,
Fantastic.
Yeah. No. So I'm back and forth from Oregon to Nevada, back to Oregon to Nevada in my recovery. Taking off wild stints. My first time with just a couple $100 in my pocket, and right now I'm looking at leaving another town to come back to California, and I just wanted to get you guys' take on what you thought.
I'm not trying to understand the question. Are you guys hearing it?
He's moving around a lot.
And your take, why are you moving so much? Maybe that's the question.
No, I just I want to make sure before I head back to Vegas, if I got an opportunity to come to Cali, you know what I think as far as recovery, just
tons of recovery here.
Depends on what part of California.
Yeah, tons of recovery in Southern California.
So that was the question. This spot is Oxnard. It's a room in a guy's house I've never met. Craigslist, you know, and I was actually posting to him when I got your guys' feed from Facebook, and I just thought I'd call
him. Here's my advice. What do you have waiting for you in Las Vegas? Do you have family and friends and a support network?
I have just opportunity. I'm going there to live, and just the same thing. Okay.
I wouldn't recommend going to live with some dude that you've never met in Oxnard in a one bedroom just because. Nor would I recommend going back to Vegas just because. Go to the place where you feel the most comfortable and supported, and you feel like you have the most strength to continue with recovery.
And Oxnard's got plenty of recovery.
Yeah, Oxnard. The whole Ventura County is really great for that. But I think you're looking at the end of the race to dictate which race to run.
Right.
And I'm thinking just try to find the right running shoes.
Stay in the today.
Wow.
Stay in the
thank you, sir.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing, right?
I love that. That's why he's here.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. All right, buddy. Thanks, Paul.
All right.
Thank you, dude.
You live,
man.
Vinny, I have one question for you when it comes to a client and staying healthy in a long-term basis. How much do you recommend, because I do agree with you completely, and I think you're giving great advice as far as staying in zone two, and you can do that pretty much as you want, but then how much should you work in, say, higher interval training and weight resistance training to kind of balance it out, mitochondrial health, all that stuff, all the good, to get a well-rounded, long-term view of health, what would be like an ideal breakdown, roughly, of, you know, say, a training routine?
Yeah, you know, several days a week on aerobic activity. It doesn't matter how you do it. You can do an rowing machine.
What does several mean? Three, four?
Three at least. Yeah, you just want to stimulate that muscle, so to speak. The same with, and we're just talking about a regular person. We're not talking about someone that's trying to get
a regular person, but a regular person that wants to really look good. Not,
right.
But yes, not a fitness model, not a professional NFL player.
Right.
Average guy and gal that's listening to this that says, I don't want to grow older looking like poo-poo. I want to grow older looking like Vinny.
Optimizing.
Yeah, so
you
with the weightlifting, you're going to have to go 4 or 5 days a week. Six would be optimal with weightlifting. And it doesn't have to be a long time. It, you know, if you're doing the squats and lunges or, you know, any of the compound movements, you can walk in and just do bench press and shoulder press and walk out. That's a day. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to do the long form, you know, routine and the whole thing. So if you do one day of push, one day of pull, one day of legs, and then go back to push, pull, legs again, that's 6 days a week.
Right.
And again, you don't have to be a gym rat. I'm not a gym rat. You know, I'm going 30 minutes.
I keep it in my garage and do 30 minutes.
Yeah, but you're obviously doing something with your biceps and triceps, Drew.
That's genetic, he says. That's his big time body part.
I do two sets of biceps and triceps.
That's fine, but you see, and look at him. He's 60 years old next month, and he's stimulating.
A lot of beating off,
first
too,
of all,
though.
How dare you?
Now, to
how
get to
you?
The third thing that you said, take it easy, Drew. The high-intensity interval training. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a thing where people are lying. If you think you could do that every day, you're lying to
yourself. Right, no one should.
But a lot of people are, you know, and I see a lot of people getting hurt doing that, and you can't stimulate, you can't hit that nerve every day. You know, if you hit that once a week, twice a week is a lot. You know, going back to the Lance Armstrong thing, those guys never did interval training more than once a week in the highest part of their season.
And these are guys that are pulling wattage at a continuous rate that we can only dream
of. And taking drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And they still can't pull it off.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, you're looking at that, and if you look at the Tour de France and how they set up the mountain stages versus, you can't hit those mountains every day and get these guys to do it every day. They have to split it up a bit.
So give also some basic dietary recommendations. We're going to wrap up in a couple minutes here. By the way, anything on Facebook, Susan, let us know, but go ahead.
Yeah, you want to do everything percentage-wise. You know, I hate when people start in with the grams. I know bodybuilders will do the, hey, bro, you got to have 1 gram per pound of lean body mass, right, or 1.5 grams. Yeah, you could be at a half a gram of protein and still get by. So I always tell people percentage-wise, if you're getting at least 50% fat, 20 to 25% protein, and the rest in vegetables, as I like to call it.
So no carbohydrates.
Fine. No. Carbohydrates, but in the form of vegetables and some fruit.
A plant-based carbohydrate is going to, you know, a starchier source.
That's like people. Are we talking about sweet potato? Carrots.
Sweet potatoes are great. Carrots are a great one.
Yeah. They're all fine. Yeah.
But people get this notion that a carb is a carb, and it isn't true. I mean,
it's not even in fruit.
Is that because of the fiber content, or is that because of the concentration of
both? You're going to get some sources, a squash, for instance, that has 40 to 50 grams in a 100 gram serving, has almost like 1-2 grams of sugar, but there's going to be 4 or 5 grams of fiber. That's going to affect your stomach and your digestion rate and your metabolism in a completely different way than a slice of or a tortilla, you know?
Yeah.
Which is just to concentrate it, you know, with the tortilla.
Say it again. A concentrated carbohydrate.
Because you don't want to get, you know, even, you know, Dr. Robert Lustig talks about you guys should have Lustig on the show. The guy's the
when the Soul Patrol gets happening, we will do that.
Yeah, he's a great source.
And by the way, if you want Soul Patrol, send First Lady of Love information about how much you like it and would like that kind of thing.
I
put up one Soul Patrol picture yesterday. I got about 150 people that are like, when can I download it?
Okay. Well, cool. This is the beginning of that. Anything on Facebook before we wrap this thing up?
Nope.
Okay.
There it is.
Again, Vinny, I don't feel like the average person would quite get what you were saying there about sugars versus vegetable.
So let's talk about it.
Give us something a little more specific.
How
much fruit?
As little as possible.
Meaning? First of all, no fruit juice.
Fruit juice is completely out. That's a glass of sugar.
An apple a day is okay.
You can have an apple, but you know, it depends.
Don't have bananas ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
High sugar, right?
Yeah. Any of the tropical fruit. You stay away from bananas, pineapples, papayas, all of that. You want to stick closest to berries and cherries. If you want to go off the reservation a bit, you can have pears and apples. That's fine.
And vegetable, you want to stay towards the high fiber.
Cruciferous.
You want to stay on the cruciferous. Yeah. Broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts.
Carrot, some sweet potato.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to earn those, though. I mean, I know Vinny likes to break it down into percentages, and I think that's the best way to go about it. But honestly, how many of us, myself included, are doing anything that you absolutely dictate? It dictates your behavior, dictates that you need this concentrated source of carbohydrates. Very few of us. If you're out there and you're training for an MMA fight, okay, go eat your bunch of bananas and your sweet potatoes. Yeah. But in reality, if you eat broccoli and spinach and a nice cut of lean protein every meal, you'll be fine.
Trust me.
Yeah, people. Right. And by the way, just to put a final point on it, I know we have to go, but Drew, the bottom line is you say, well, is a carrot okay? And I'll say yes. Is an apple okay? Yes. Is sweet potato okay? Yes. People who hear that and conflate it and go, well, I can have an apple, a sweet potato, and a banana or whatever. And that's when it becomes a problem.
Right. So there you go. So limit it. Was that amount of sweet potato we ate yesterday okay?
Oh, probably too much for me. Yeah. But it was a special occasion.
Yeah. It was a little bit of – that's what I thought. It seemed like a lot
of life into potato,
but it was really good. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for supporting the podcast and supporting the people that support the podcast.
Fitness Confidential podcast.
Yes.
Fitness Confidential,
Vinny
the book.
Tartarich. Go see him. Find him at Corolla Network. Find him.
Yes,
his website
I'm
is
everywhere. VinnyTortorich.com. Yes.
Right. And we will see you next time.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about.
You live.